Good afternoon and welcome to our full year 2019 call. Today I'm joined by our Group CEO Gianmario Tondato and our Corporate General Manager and Group CFO Camillo Rossotto. Given the fast evolving situation as a result of the coronavirus outbreak, we wanted to give you the latest possible information, and so you didn't receive our usual video, which, as you can imagine, would have been filmed ahead of time. Before we get started, we want to emphasize that some of the information discussed in this call contain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. Actual results may differ materially from those set forth in such statements. For a discussion of this risk and uncertainty, you should review the disclaimer in the earnings presentation we issued today. With this, I will hand over to Gianmario.
Good afternoon. 2019 seems a very long time ago. We delivered solid results in 2019 as we balanced the achievement of our short-term targets with the mid-term objectives we announced during our Capital Market Day. First of all, we met all our targets with revenue, underlying EBITDA, and reported EPS, only in line with the full-year guidance we provided in June. And we registered improvements across all the key metrics. We also continue delivering on our three core strategic pillars: growth, profitability, and capital allocation. Starting with growth, in 2019, we generated 5 billion revenues as a result of strong like-for-like performance at airports, new openings, and bolt-on acquisitions. Secondly, profitability. In Europe, underlying EBITDA margin increased significantly, leading to the improvement in profitability at the group level. Our continued commitment to product innovation and renewed focus on cost efficiencies, especially in Italy, delivered a significant improvement in margin. And finally, our capital allocation strategy. On one end, we generated significant cash flow with the disposal of our Canadian motorway. On the other end, we acquired Pacific Gateway Concessions, an airport retail concession company, and we accelerated investments in our motorway business, namely the New Jersey Turnpike, as we see strong interest in the sector. In a nutshell, 2019, we delivered a good set of results.
Let's look at our numbers in detail, which are all on a cost and currency basis and pre-adoptions of IFRS 16. In North America, we posted very strong like-for-like revenue growth, particularly at airports with 4.5% year-on-year growth. In addition, the top line benefited from the contribution of bolt-on acquisitions and from a positive calendar effect, as we had one more week in the 2019 financial year. Underlying EBITDA was up 4.6% and, as expected, underlying EBITDA margin was stable year over year at 11.1%. Underlying EBIT was $167 million, reflecting an increase in D&A due to the higher investments made over the last years. Reported EBIT was positively impacted by the capital gain of $134 million from the disposal of the Canadian motorway business. In international, we continue to grow our revenue base whilst focusing on the completion of the startup phase of our latest initiatives in the context of slowing airport traffic, especially in Amsterdam. As a result, revenue was up 10.3% and the underlying EBITDA margin landed at 9.5%. Thanks to a very disciplined approach on our investment, underlying EBIT margin was stable at 4.2%. Finally, Europe. As expected, revenue was stable year-on-year, with a positive like-for-like performance of 1.6%, which together with new openings and acquisitions offset the announced portfolio rationalization. Underlying EBITDA was up 17% year-over-year, and underlying EBIT was up by 48%. This significant result confirms our commitment to enhancing profitability in the region. Reported figures include an 8 million euro capital gain relating to the disposal of our operation in the Czech Republic in 2019, while 2018 was negatively impacted by 23 million one-off costs related to the cross-generational deal in Italy. The group delivered a solid set of results, with revenue up by 3.5%, underlying EBITDA growing by 7.6%, and underlying EBIT was up by 6.1%. As a result, in 2019, the group posted 117 million euro underlying net profit and 237 million euro reported net profit. In 2019, we increased our free cash flow by more than 70% to 57 million euro, a result in line with our midterm target of significant structural enhancement in the free cash flow generation, despite the CapEx ramp-up in the U.S. motorways described by Gian Mario.
We delivered a significant amount of renewals and new wins globally in 2019. We actively expanded our portfolio, securing close to 3 billion euros of renewals and new contracts in 16 countries across the world. We renewed key contracts at airports, including Salt Lake City, Nashville, Indianapolis, Calgary, Zurich. We entered new airports, including Langkawi in Malaysia, Mumbai in India, and Myrtle Beach in North America. We also won at existing airport locations, including Orlando, Dallas, Philadelphia, and Seattle. On top of that, the jewel of the crown, we recently secured a seven-year contract extension at Las Vegas Airport, which alone is worth $1.5 billion. At the end of 2019, after the disposal of the Canadian motorway business, which was worth 3 billion euros, our portfolio was 35 billion euros.
Turning now to 2020 outlook and guidance. The coronavirus has developed since the second half of January, leading to a rapid deterioration worldwide in February, affecting air travel, as well as broadening to specific countries where the impact has been more acute. This outbreak is evolving rapidly, and the developments are extremely hard to predict. Let me share with you what we've seen so far. First of all, as a group, we've launched measures to safeguard the health and safety of our employees and to counteract the impact of this outbreak, including management of opening hours, store labor optimization, and G&A control. In international, which represent 13% of group revenue, we saw a sharp decline in traffic since late January in China and Vietnam. During the first week of March, the outbreak resulted in a general weakness of the air traffic. At the end of the first week of March, we estimate a negative impact on revenue of about 5 million-10 million euro for our international division, mainly in China and Vietnam. In Italy, which represent 20% of group revenue, we recorded a very good start of the year until the escalation of coronavirus starting from the 22nd of February. There is no doubt that the impact since the outbreak is significant, and we've been forced to close a few points of sale, and we continue to be impacted by restriction on our high margin bar counter service, as well as on the overall network. At the end of the first week of March, we estimate a revenue loss in Italy of about 10 to 15 million euros. Given the strong results posted by our Italian operation in 2019, we decided to invest in 2020 60 million euro CapEx to revamp our motorway network and to support future growth. This initiative will position us to drive significant long-term value. In North America, which represents 53% of group revenue, we have seen a limited impact so far, mostly due to a reduction in international flights. But in case of additional traffic restrictions, our management is already defining an action plan to deal with the situation and protect profitability. At the end of the first week of March, we estimate a negative impact on revenue in North America of around 5 million euros, concentrated mostly in the last 2 weeks. In the rest of Europe, we represent 14% of group revenue. We have experienced a minor impact so far. The consolidated negative impact on group revenue caused by coronavirus at the end of the first week of March 2020 is estimated to be approximately 25 to 30 million euro. Now, 2020 is subject to significant uncertainties, which has lower visibility on what to expect this year. For this reason, We plan to release our guidance for 2020 as soon as the scenario is more stable. Given the fast-evolving scenario, the Board of Directors has taken a prudent approach and proposed not to distribute a dividend.
There is no doubt that the coronavirus is very serious. And as we have seen, the outbreak and the measures taken are impacting daily lives more and more. But we think this situation will end sooner or later. So, while we remain confident in the medium-term growth opportunities in our business, we continue to execute selectively our capital allocation strategy, investing in our core channels. But we are now very focused on managing the current situation. This is not the first time our group has faced external factors impacting travel demand. We know that travel is fundamental to people, and we believe the travel industry will rebound soon again. We will now take your questions.
So first of all, I will be reading the questions we received from Ali Naqvi from HSBC. He's asking three questions. The first one, could you let us know how operational gearing impacts results during this period of trading? What costs can be flexed down and to what extent? The second one, do you expect any relief from any of your landlord partners given the declining volumes? Can you comment on this by region and format? The third one, can you quantify the mitigation to cost you talked about in your outlook statement? Starting from the first one, could you let us know how operational gearing impacts the results during this period of trading? What costs can be flexed down and to what extent?
Yeah, sure. Look, for what we've seen so far, so for the 20, 25 million euro impact, I think it's reasonable to assume a flow through of something like around 20 to 25%, and that would be sort of the first go at that in terms of EBITDA impact. Now, you need to realize that 30% of our cost is cost of goods sold, so that's variable by nature, and it's just a question of a short-term adjustment to get that down. Then another 30% approximately is labor, and there it's a question of a combination of variable and fixed cost, and that's the part where the team is managing, is focusing the most by leveraging existing instruments in the various markets to be able to reduce cost in line with the reduction in revenues. And then you have the rent component that varies by region, and obviously, where we have MAG and we are seeing coming significant reductions in volumes, we have already started entertaining conversation with landlords.
If I can add, you know, the situation that is more, for us, more advanced is Italy, of course, sizable situation. So talking about the minimum guarantee, we have, that is not the common practice, I must say, in Italy. There are some landlords with minimum guarantee, but not all of them. We are entertaining conversation. I see, frankly speaking, a lot of understanding. I don't see, frankly speaking, rigid positions. It's too early to say, but I'm quite confident. You know, we're gonna come out with a good result. Talking about labor, you know, there is in Italy one institution that is called Cassa Integrazione. Probably the Italian people know very well. You know, it's basically the government pays the salary, the base salary of the employees or the people working for the company for a period if you keep the job of the people. That's the perfect is a situation that has been built in Italy, created in Italy to for crisis, and that I think is the situation, temporary crisis, of course. That's the situation we are facing now. And the government has announced, you know, yesterday that they're gonna provide an important amount of money to support this temporary situation. So I think, you know, long story short, we're gonna have a relief, a good relief, you know, in our cost of labor. But more important than anything else, you know, like yesterday there was this decree or this law, you know, passed by the government. Our location are going to be open. Our motorway location are going to be open. Are going to stay open because of its service, you know. So and the traffic, I must say, you know, it's probably the only channel in Italy with still some traffic, not of course reduced, but with a certain vital traffic, also because of the trucks, because of the industry is still moving, you know. So I think the combination of these three things, you know, and also the resiliency really of the motorway channel looks better than I thought, frankly speaking, at the beginning of the situation for Italy. For the other countries, you know, it's too early to say because everybody has his own approach. In the U.S., as we said, you know, it's too early. Numbers are still very, very little, you know, and there is not a major reduction yet. So we will see. But of course, it's a much more flexible labor market, the one in the United States. And frankly speaking, listening to the landlord, and we already are entertaining talking with them, you know, they look flexible as well, as they've been in the past, you know, during the September 11, 2001, or the financial crisis before, you know, so.
Second one is, do you expect any relief from any of your landlord partners, but you have already answered? And the third one was, can you quantify the mitigation to costs you talked about in your outlook statement, so we are okay? So we can go with the questions from Luca Bacoccoli, Banca IMI. The first one was partially answered now. Do you see the risk to it, the minimum annual guarantee in certain locations in Italy or Europe? The second one is, have you already discussed with the landlords to renegotiate the rents or the minimum annual guarantee in Italy? The third one, how can the entry ban in the U.S. for European travelers affect the business in North America?
Well, just to give you a number, if I don't mistake, you know, the number of passengers coming in from Europe is 6% of the total amount of passengers in the United States. And just to give you an idea, internal traffic is 80% and foreign traffic is 20%. So it's important.
And Nicole Lopez-Sina from Mediobanca is asking Camillo to repeat again the answer on the EBITDA impact because there was a bad...
I'm sorry. I hope it's clear now. What I said was that we are... you should assume for the first numbers that we just quoted, that is the 20 to 25 reduction in revenues attributable to coronavirus, that the flow through on EBITDA of those numbers, of those shortfalls in revenues, would be between 20 to 25%. We are in a 10% EBITDA margin business. Obviously, in the short term, the impact of the negative flow through is a multiple of the EBITDA margin. On the other hand, when you look at the most impacted region, that is Italy, seasonality is a factor. The concentration of revenues in EBITDA in the strong part of the year, starting from May to September, is pretty significant. And therefore, the hit in also the coming month of March needs to be reportioned to the low seasonality months that we have in front of us in March and April.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If at any time your question has been addressed and you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then two. The first question is from Simone Le Chiffre with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Three questions, please. First of all, regarding the CapEx plan you announced today in Italy, could you please give us more details on the rationale behind this decision, and what kind of return you expect on this investment? Secondly, still on CapEx, could you help us understand how much flexibility do you have regarding your CapEx budget for 2020, and what do you expect at this stage for this year? Excluding, of course, the investment in Italy. And lastly, if you could give us an update on your strategy to sell some very long-term motorways contract, which you already started to do with Canada. And do you feel the current situation could lead to a delay on the execution of this plan? Thank you.
I'll provide some answers based on what I understood to be the questions, then correct me if they are not on target. So on the third one, I think your question was, what is the strategy vis-a-vis the long-term, let's say, value extraction from the waterway business in the U.S.? I think, just like Gianmario said, there's an embedded resilience in the motorway business in situations like this. The demand for those kind of assets is still strong. We do not think, even though we have very little now visibility on what might happen in the coming months, that the plan is impacted, so much so that last year we also, just let me go back to another point, which has to do with the flexibility on CapEx. We decided managerially they wanted to fast forward on the refurbishment of the New Jersey Turnpike, and we did that with a view to having a more solid base of revenue generation in 2020 in that sector. So when we talk about capital allocation, those are the kind of choices that we make on a monthly basis. As far as guidance for 2020, we're not providing it. So we're not providing it on EBITDA, on cash flow, and on any other number. What I can tell you is that a good chunk of the CapEx for this year is still discretionary, and the teams, particularly in North America, as far as the investments in the airports and the likes, are really going through each program. The CapEx in Italy is part of an example of how having the full capability or having very dry power is in terms of our leverage ratio. You know, when we met in June last year, I was asked what would be the leverage ratio at the end of 2019, and we said 1.2 times, and that was exactly what it is, because we had planned for a prudent cash generation for the year. What this means is that we're entering into this situation with a lot of elasticity, a lot of flexibility as far as our financial position is concerned. And we think that the world has not come to an end, and starting with 2021, there's going to be some sort of rebound. And based on that scenario, we have decided to go forward with investing into the new formats that up to the month of January this year were giving excellent results on the Italian motorways, and that are partly behind the success of the performance of the Italian operations in 2019. So that's the rationale behind it. All of these investments need to meet ex ante 15% and more sort of IRR type of threshold. So that, I think, is the color that we can put around these CapEx.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Felix Schlüter with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my question. I had one on your credit facilities. You've provided in the slides the overview, but I just wanted to know who's the syndicate or who provides you with that liquidity from a bank perspective on the RCF. And obviously, if you also include the covenants, but what do you think could be the flexibility around covenants should you really come in a scenario where you have near-term pressure on them, and how often are they tested? Thank you very much.
From the last one, we don't plan to even get close to to touch in them. They're measured biannually at the end of June, at the end of December, based on last 12-month trailing EBITDA as normal. And 3.5 times, like I said, is the ceiling. The interest coverage, it's a nonsensical number. The one that we have doesn't even need to be tested. The debt to EBITDA applies to the facilities that are provided by the largely capitalized European banks, such as UniCredit, Intesa, BNP, and Rabobank. And so we're talking about very solid liquidity providers. The maturity of our debt, which we are working on extending as we speak, by the way, is in excess of 3 years. So we have a very comfortable liquidity profile. And in terms of the stress test scenarios that we run periodically, we're now into the mood of doing that even more frequently. And like I said, we are we have a very significant headroom, both in terms of availability and in terms of covenants.
And in terms of rolling your debt or renewing, what's the feedback that you're getting from the credit markets?
Oh, look, we just extended from 2021 to 2024, essentially, one of our facilities, and that has been part of our normal activity of working on the next year's maturities. And there has been a very good reception, and we just with a couple of new counterparts for additional long-term liquidity. I'm not talking about short-term uncommitted stuff that it's obviously very easily available to us. So I think we are very much focused in the coming months to manage by cash, because that's the kind of situation that until when the visibility will be restored. But that's part of the prudency of the house, and obviously we are monitoring the situation constantly.
Sure. But I mean, given the kind of fixed, I'm just going back to your point that you're not looking obviously at, or that you don't think that covenants will come under pressure. I'm just thinking in a scenario where volumes would be down for the year 10-20%, then given the, you know, operating leverage that you have, wouldn't that necessarily, or wouldn't that put you at risk that some of the covenants could be come under pressure?
That's kind of the worst-case scenario that you're talking about, that would still leave us in excess of one turn of coverage under the major test that we perform. So just that is to give you a sense on an unmitigated basis. Then when you pile on also the potential proceeds from disposals and or the mitigating actions on cash, we definitely feel even better about where we are with our current covenants.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about the CapEx on Italy. I would like to better understand if these 60 million CapEx were on top of your previous guidance that you provided during the Capital Market Day, and when do you expect the first tangible impact of this renovation of some points in Italy? This is my first question. My second question is about labor cost inflation in North America. Well, like the situation is very fluid, but what are your expectations for this first 6 months? So just to better understand if you're still seeing some inflation in the market for the North America. Thank you.
Alessandro, ciao. So first of all, as far as the CapEx in Italy is concerned, yes, it is on top of the guidance we provided for during the Capital Markets Day. But again, now the situation is evolving rapidly. So as Camillo and Gianmario were explaining before, the CAPEX we plan to do during 2020 will be, in any case, revised. This is the first the first answer. Then, as far as the payback is concerned, we think that this investment will pay for itself in about 3 years. You will start seeing some refurbishment, so the impacts of the refurbishment, you will start seeing them in 2021, but in any case, the payback period is 3 years. And of course, we also need to have a normalized situation to see the results of this activity. As far as the first half 2020 is concerned, we restate again the fact that we are not providing any guidance because the situation is too volatile and we cannot, we don't want to give information that may be misleading.
Alessandro, rest assured that we are monitoring it, and as soon as things stabilize and the possibility to reestablish some sort of visibility, which is now more crucial in the short term than in the long term, paradoxically, because we need to understand what is the shape of the curve that's going to affect us in 2020, we will come out, and that's why we haven't put a deadline for our renewal of the guidance on 2020, but just talked about the need for stability, which means understanding at which point this thing flexes and take it from there.
Thank you. About the labor cost.
Sorry, what was the question on the labor cost? I missed it. Sorry. Say it again.
The question was about the labor cost inflation that you expect in, I mean, in the market in North America. So last year was, if I am not wrong, plus 5%, roughly speaking. I would like to better understand if it's still a very tight market, and so you are seeing some inflation in the unit labor cost in North America.
As we can see, you know, due to the crisis, a lot of things are changing. You know, personally, it's difficult to say. You know, personally, I think the labor, the pressure on the cost of labor is going to go down in the medium term because, you know, there is a slowdown in the economy. There is a slowdown in. Look at the cost of the Brent, for instance. Oil is going down. So there are a lot of things that, in my opinion, you know, can help our sector, you know, in the medium term. It's too early to say, you know, because we are also in an election year, so it depends a lot on the decision that they will make to keep up the pace of the economy, you know. But medium term is a political call, you know. My gut feeling tells me that you know, in medium term the pressure on the cost of the rising of the cost of labor is gonna ease, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, many thanks.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one. There is no question at the moment. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks.
Thank you for attending the conference call, and hello, and bye-bye, everybody. Ciao.
Thank you. Bye.